Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. As we say hi on a Sunday night late, we just concluded with the pack at the Steelers, a 35-25 win here for the Green Bay Packers. What we're going to do, we do it every Sunday night into Monday here on Sharp Money. We'll end with tomorrow night's close on week 8. That's Washington without Daniels at Kansas City. We'll run a light board because, of course, 6 byes in week 8, the heaviest bye week. But, Mike, we should just start with what we just saw. Kind of a tale of two halves. Look, you and I were both all over Green Bay. I think the Steelers are a pretty bad football team, and that second half very much showed us that.
First off, how bad were those Packers uniforms? Can I just...
I thought they were so clean.
You liked them?
Oh, I love the monochrome white.
I'm sorry. The Packers uniforms were great.
Those are dirty.
Oh my god.
But I mean, they can't do much with the color scheme.
Sure you can. You just don't wear them. You don't have to wear those jerseys with the crap colored pants and the black stripes down the front. We could just skip that.
Hey, if it's possible to make them look older, right. Rodgers looks geriatric out there, and he's fine. But we should dig. Let's do this because first off, inordinate as far as what 420 total offense for the Packers. Love was great in the game, but it really was a tale of two halves. It felt like the Packers, part of my language, dicking around in the first half and just kind of whatever. Defense was so leaky, and then they come out in the second half, and Love was awesome. So was the offense.
It's such a strange Green Bay Packers team because I am the homer for the Green Bay Packers here at VSiN. Like I've taken up that mantle this year, and I'm texting with people at VSiN. They're just making fun of me during the first half. And all of a sudden, my text chains just went quiet. Just went silent as they were just rolling over this Pittsburgh Steelers
team.
That's
VSiN.
Yeah, you know, come on, guys. Like if you're going to give it out, you got to be able to take it. The lackadaisical effort from the Packers in the first half was wildly frustrating, and we haven't seen this Packers team play a complete 60 minutes since Week 1. But when you get the good Packers, like you did in the second half, you're like, wow. This team is awesome. They rush the passer. They can stop the run. Their offense is just incredibly fluid, especially if they get any semblance of a running game. All of a sudden, Jordan Love is able to attack with his weapons down the field. We saw Christian Watson back today. He definitely made a difference. Tucker Kraft absolutely goes off in this spot. And the Packers hang a 21 spot in the fourth quarter, 28 in the second half. And just we're in total control of this football game once they were able to get a lead. And Pittsburgh, look, they're not good. They aren't. This isn't one of those wins where you're like, wow, it's a great win for the Packers. But this was still the Packers team you want to see in the second half. I want to see that for the whole game, for a full 60 minutes, so I can justify having them as high in my power ratings as I do.
Wasn't this emblematic of the season in one game? Half was a disaster for the Packers. The other half looked like, well, we can put them in the conversation of top three. So that's essentially what we've had for 7 weeks, now 8 weeks for the Packers, which is we know it's in there. We know this type of performance is in there. Why the inconsistencies? Do you get bored? Because you don't have enough equity to get bored at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why you have these the defense just didn't look like they were effective in the first half. Kept giving up you get them in third and long, but they're still moving the chains. They're not stopping the run in the first half. Aaron Rodgers able to cut them up. The blitzes aren't getting home. Then all of a sudden, second half, we're not blitzing as much. We're able to get home. The defense is much tighter against the run. I do think it makes a difference when the Packers offense keeps the football for a little longer. We saw time of possession become an issue in the first half, and it felt like that Packers D was getting a little ground down. Kicking game, a huge problem for the Packers. I mean, that missed field goal, which then you get the other field goal on the other
huge.
End, was a big part of this first half. They miss a field goal at the end of the half as well. But they cover every number, Patrick. That's what's important here. We got our three home. If you had the over, congratulations. The second half just went crazy. But the Packers, again, they cover on the road against the Steelers on Sunday night, and Jordan Love gets his win over Aaron Rodgers.
Even at the break, I was just like, these are two different football teams. I'm not concerned. And by the way, closer to 2.5 at a bunch of shops. So there was money coming in on the home team and the Steelers. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me what they see in this Steelers football team. You know, Rodgers is fine for what he is at this point in his life. But you saw it late when they really needed him to buy extra time in the pocket, finally the pass rush started getting home for the Packers, and he's a statue.
Yeah, he is a statue. And that to me was the difference, right? You had three sacks of Aaron Rodgers, none of Jordan Love. This vaunted Pittsburgh pass rush that caused so many problems for teams in prior years just has not been very effective so far this year. And without that pass rush, they can't cover up the holes that they have in their secondary, right? They moved on from Mika Fitzpatrick. He was a big part of this team. They get Jalen Ramsey. That's great. Fitzpatrick covers up a lot more warts than Ramsey does at cornerback when he's back there playing safety and just being a ball hawk. So,
yeah,
I didn't love that trade for Pittsburgh. I think it is affecting their defensive performance right now because Ramsey's just not – he's not the, like, number one elite shutdown guy anymore. He's a very good cornerback, but he's not like Pat Surtain out there, right? So I just don't love what I see from the Steelers defense. Don't love what I see from the Steelers offense. They're still a team that I'm looking to fade even after fading them the last 2 weeks.
Well, speaking of fading, if you're just listening and it's not video, I'm doing the eat sign because this is a mirror of what we saw, a little bit of a lighter look ahead into 2.5, 3, the Colts at Pittsburgh. All of the Colts 2.5s right now. I will take the Colts.
They're still 2.5.
I'm seeing 2.5 right now. BetMGM. I'm seeing 2.5
wow.
Right now. ESPN bet. Look ahead was 1.5, correct?
The look ahead was 2.5.
It's still two. Now, there are threes. FanDuel's three, DraftKings is three, but there are 2.5s. That's why we do the program when we do it. Get on the 2.5 now. The Colts will win and cover that number.
Writing it down right now, Indy minus 2.5. Yeah, that is a phenomenal number. That's going to be 3, 3.5 when we get to Sunday. I bet that's 3.5.
Yeah.
I think it goes through the three because, look, this Colts team, we'll get to them in a second here. They're a force on offense. I still think the defense is a little lackluster, but they are an absolute force on offense.
If you like efficiency, the Colts are writing a new chapter in offensive efficiency. I mean, it is like a ballet to use. It's so graceful what they're doing on offense right now. And then, so again, Colts at the Steelers, and then Green Bay returns home. And you can give me the look ahead. Here comes the Panthers. The Panthers got their asses kicked today by Buffalo. And I'm seeing anywhere from 10.5 up to 12.5 with the Packers laying it.
Yeah, look ahead was 10.5, total 44. I would assume we're getting closer to that 12 number than the 10.5 once we get later into the week. I don't think we ever see a 10. So if you do want the Packers, I think 10.5 is the best number you're going to get at this point because this is a team that is going to be upgraded off this performance and a Panthers team that we don't know if it's going to be Bryce Young or Andy Dalton, and we'll get to Dalton a little bit later, but this is a situation where I don't think you ever see 10s pop in the market.
No, I would agree with that. All right, let's run the board as we do here. Sharp money. We'll start 261. The Jets were at Cincinnati. We start with a drunk one.
Oh.
Cincinnati was in control of this game until the fourth quarter, where Breece Hall ran for two touchdowns, threw the game decider, and Fields ends up playing because Tyrod Taylor with the knee, and Fields actually played okay in this game, and a 39-38 win here for the Jets.
My survivor goes down with the Bengals, and it was a very, very frustrating one, Patrick. And this is why I hate playing teams that have no defenses in Survivor. Because you had a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. You had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. You give both of those up. You allow the Jets to come all the way back. Flacco has an opportunity with sub 2 minutes, three timeouts to go kick a game-winning field goal. The drive was atrocious. They ran the ball on 2nd and 10 with a sub a minute left. Gained 1 yard, set up a 3rd and 4th and 9. Both, but the first pass goes incomplete. The second's dropped. But just an awful, awful game from this Cincinnati Bengals defense. Trey Hendrickson leaves in the middle of the game as well with the hip that he was questionable coming in with. He's not, like, now it's harder to trade him. They're saying they're not going to trade him. We'll see what happens with him moving forward. But look, this Bengals team is who we thought they were, Patrick. Their offense is going to move the football. You're going to get just pepper chase with targets, and your defense is going to absolutely stink out loud. And you just hope you outscore the opponent.
They weren't. Your survivor should be good. They were in control.
Oh,
I'm just taking a look at the overall numbers. I was looking before the program. I thought Fields actually played pretty well based on what we had been seeing. Yeah, 21 of 32. I mean, 244, a touchdown. He doesn't make a mistake. Hall was the story on offense, obviously, for the Jets. But 502 yards for the Jets, to your point, about this Bengal defense. The Jets, who are 1-7.
Well, this is the Jets team we saw not be able to move the football at all the last 2 weeks. And honestly, Justin Fields, this might have been the best performance of his career. I mean, it was an efficient 22.
He was good week one,
32.
Too.
He was.
Against the Steelers.
Against the Steelers, by the way. Their defense yeah. still stinks, too.
Fair enough.
But, man, this is, like, just so frustrating to watch this on that light. The Bengals, I think it's very simple, Patrick. You don't lay points with the Bengals. You just, if they're catching more than a field goal, they're a little bit interesting depending on who they're playing because they are going to score. But, man, you don't want to be laying points and expecting them to win by you know, what was it, 7? Is this what kicked off at?
6.5? Like, did it go 7?
You don't.
Yeah, no, actually dipped down to 5.5-ish.
Yeah, you don't want to be laying. Don't lay over a field goal. We'll put it that way with the Bengals because you never know what you're going to get from this defense.
Well, you can take next week at home. Here comes Chicago off a loss. We'll get to them in a bit. Chicago, I think the look ahead was closer to a pick. Chicago's now 1.5. FanDuel's up to 2.5 with the Bears laying at the Bengals.
Yeah, this one was 1.5 on the look ahead, 48.5 on the total. If we ever get a 3 on the Bengals, I'm probably going to get suckered back into this thing because I don't love this Bears team either. We'll get to Caleb Williams a little bit later, but if we ever get a 3, I think I'm interested.
The buys this week, the Jets, after their first win, will go on a bye. The Browns on bye, the Eagles on bye, and the Bucks on bye. So 4 teams on bye after 6 this week. Next up, 263. The 49ers at the Texans. The Texans, a 26-15 winner. They close 3. They cover the number. This was offensively the best game for not just Stroud, but the Texans overall. And we were waiting for all of this to catch up to the 49ers. And I think the bubble has officially burst. I think we'll start to see the 49ers slowly implode as the season goes along, and maybe not their fault.
No, it's the injury issues that they've been having consistently. And we saw them perform well on the defensive side against Atlanta with just duct tape last week, right? You saw the issues just absolutely all over the place this week. You don't have any type of pass rush. And that's the reason why we saw C.J. Stroud perform well. This is a putrid offensive line. Everyone knows that for the Texans. If you can't get pressure on Stroud, you give him time. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, Higgins and Noel and everybody else out there who is your third, fourth, and fifth string receivers, you don't need Nico Collins. You don't need Christian Kirk to be able to put up points when C.J. Stroud is comfortable sitting there in the pocket. And this 49ers team cannot get a pass rush right now. So therefore, whatever quarterback they're facing is going to be comfortable sitting in the pocket. That makes it near impossible to stop an NFL offense when you don't blitz. And this is a 49ers team that doesn't want to blitz. They want to rush 4. They want to cover with 7. That's how Robert Saleh has made his butters his bread for years. Now you're in a position where you're not getting any pressure with that front 4. That means you have to get out of your tendencies. You have to start blitzing. And it's not a team that has the talent on the back end to be able to hold up if you are blitzing. And so it's just a terrible situation for the 49ers on the defensive side. On the offensive side, they ran into a juggernaut. This Houston defense
is very good,
freaking awesome. And they don't get enough credit because they're teamed up with this Houston offense. Great win for Houston. Now they need to try and do it the next 2 weeks at home as well to try and get themselves back into the playoff race in the AFC.
When's the last time we could say that Stroud wasn't sacked? Because he wasn't. And remember, this is with no Collins. They were great on third down, efficient. So maybe a little something here. If they could have somehow luck boxed their way out of Seattle with a win, but they get a win today and we take a look. Houston stays home. And here comes Denver. We'll get to Denver here in just a bit. But Denver right now is everywhere, 1.5 at the Texans.
Yeah, that was the look ahead as well. The total was 38.5 on the look ahead. What's our reopen on the total?
The total right now is 39.5. Jumped up, well, because of what Denver did today.
Yeah, well, yes.
And obviously what Houston did.
Right, but Denver played the Cowboys defense, which is bottom 5, and Houston played the 49ers defense, which as constructed is definitely bottom 10. Now you're getting the best 2 defenses in the NFL playing offenses that maybe can't move the football all that great.
Like, it's going to be a lot of sacks.
Maybe this is – I was hoping we'd see a 40. I'm probably playing under at 39.5.
Yeah, 39.5. And then let's take a look at San Francisco. San Francisco travels to the Giants. The Giants, I mean, we talked about it, even though they were game today, the number was really never, well, I shouldn't say never in question, but Philly could do whatever they wanted. And also another psychological blow for the Giants, which we'll get to. Scadaboo is done for the year. But San Francisco now travels to the Giants, and San Francisco's 2.5.
Yeah, that's off the key of three. So the look at here was San Francisco minus three, Giants, and the total sitting at 46.5. Let's talk about that game when we talk about the Giants.
Now time to talk about Baltimore. So Baltimore picks up a W. You could tell there was juice. Now, Lamar Jackson, I guess when we saw him getting food from the street meat guy that he wasn't going to play, he did not play. Snoop Huntley played, and it's a 30-16 winner. They close 2.5, so they cover the number. I thought this was specifically in the second half more about the ineptitude of Chicago.
It really was, Patrick, and this one's got to be one of the more frustrating. We both took the 6.5 with the Bears, and you, best of the number, right? The thing kicks.
By the way, close 2.5.
Yes, the thing kicks sub 3, and we specifically mentioned on Thursday's podcast, are we sure Lamar is going to play? He didn't. And this Bears team, which looked good in the first quarter, looked good when in the structured plays, in the scripted plays to start the game, looked terrible until really the fourth quarter. Didn't move the football effectively at all against the Baltimore defense in the middle of this game. Caleb Williams is inaccurate with the football.
He wasn't good.
We're at the point where, like, is he magically going to be more accurate? I can remember one quarterback in my entire lifetime who got more accurate.
Josh Allen.
That was Josh Allen. Like, that's it. And I'm officially putting Caleb Williams on watch after watching this football game, because the Bears should not have lost by 14. And the reason they lost by 14 was because Caleb Williams was not good in this game. So, this was a frustrating one to watch as well. The Bears are just not a good football team, Patrick. And this Ravens team is now officially got some juice, got some life. They're taking on Miami on Thursday. They should be able to win that game.
Well, your Dolphins all of a sudden in the mix. But by the way, 11 penalties. This Chicago team has a lot of growing up to do. I swear I never felt like the 6.5 was in jeopardy. Mm-mm. Never.
No, me either.
And then late score and it was over. Chicago goes to Cincy. We talked about that, Mike. It's 1.5. And on the other side, you mentioned Miami. Are they going down to Miami? I don't see it on my board.
They're
talking
going
about
down to Miami on Thursday night.
And what do you have for a number?
Look ahead was Ravens laying 7.5, and the total was 50.
Yep, 7.5. You do have DraftKings showing 7 if you like Baltimore. The assumption is Jackson will be back on Thursday. That's the assumption. But the number is kind of telling you that it will dip below the 7 if it's going to be Snoop. That would be my assumption with Miami. So we're assuming it's going to be Jackson at 7.5.
Yeah, there were reports that he's going to play on Thursday that came out already. Now, after the game, Harbaugh said he is hopeful that he's going to play on Thursday. I think that John Harbaugh was probably not going to say too much considering what happened. I'm sorry, Jim Harbaugh, wrong Harbaugh brother. That Jim Harbaugh was probably not going to say, no, it was John. I'm right. John Harbaugh.
I was going to say, like, same.
Anyway, John Harbaugh goes to the podium, and he basically said, yeah, we messed up on the injury report. It wasn't me. It was some other dude. Don't worry about it. So they're going to be careful. Like, he wasn't going to come out and say he's going to play after the fiasco we had last week with the injury report. But I would be very surprised if Lamar is not on the field and playing on Thursday.
I think it was Chauncey Billups that put together the injury report. No, stop. Too soon. We'll be fine. We talked about Chicago going to Cincy, laying 1.5, 2.5. I'm seeing 2.5 at FanDuel. If I get a 3, I'm taking Cincy.
What's the reopened total in that game?
51.5. I see a 52 at Circa.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the over. The look ahead was 48.5, so we reopened 3 points higher. But man, Bengals defense stinks out loud, and even with some inaccuracies, like I could see the Bears being able to move the football, and since he should be able to move the football against the Bears as well with those two wide receivers, so I would lean over there. But I'm not going to pump that one to the account like I have Indy minus the 2.5 already.
Should we talk about Raheem Morris literally potentially getting fired? Because I know that Blank, the ownership there in Atlanta, thinks they have talent. And Miami came in dead man walking, 267 on the board, and they were a 7-point dog. They win by 24, 34-10 over Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons.
Wolf is right, Patrick. And I thought Cousins couldn't be worse than what we saw last year when he got pulled out.
Hold my beer.
My bad. He was terrible. Like, Cousins
hold my beer.
Was awful in this game. And the Falcons in general were kind of lackluster. Like the fact that, that Bijan Robinson couldn't get going.
Couldn't run the ball.
Like is inexcusable against the Dolphins defense that has the second most rush yards allowed in the NFL heading into this game. We saw Rico Dowdle go for 200 against the Dolphins. And you're telling me that, that Bijan can't get 50? Like what's going on here? It was just a terrible performance by this Falcons team who, you know, we made the excuses for last weekend. Oh, they're a bad team on the road. We saw them lay an egg against Carolina, saw them lay an egg at San Francisco. They were awful at home. This defense wasn't very good. Carved them up 20 for 26, 205 and four touchdowns. And you kind of knew this was going to be a problem when it was 7-3 and the Dolphins were driving down and just a deflection straight up in the air in the red zone for the Dolphins were in the red zone and two Atlanta linebackers basically knocked the ball out of each other's hands instead of an interception. They kick a field goal on the next play and it just snowballed from there.
Couldn't run the ball. And then a defense that we talked about being young and all of a sudden something was nothing against Miami. You mentioned Tua went nuts, efficient four touchdowns. So Atlanta's at New England and you can find a 4.5 at DraftKings New England. Yes, please. Or 5.5s on the board as well.
Yeah, this is one where probably should have hit the look ahead, Patrick. Patriots -2.5.
Yeah.
Total was 45.5. But hey, today's results, I mean, New England upgrade. Falcons downgrade, so it makes sense that we are now on the other side, well on the other side of three. And I am going to be on Drake May passing yards most likely again, just like we were this week, and he flew over that number.
Yeah, I like New England. 4.5 right now. Let me just write that down. 4.5, New England. Buffalo at Carolina, 269, 40-9. Buffalo, this was never in doubt. They closed 7, 48 on the total, so it does go over by a point. And again, I don't know a ton to take. Buffalo was coming out the bye and did look crisp.
Yeah, they look good. Didn't start out as fast as I was expecting, just 3-0 in the first quarter, but then just start steamrolling them moving forward from there. We saw an impressive move on the total as that got bet up and got bet up and got bet up. And all of a sudden, we saw Buffalo turn the football over and that pushed this game over the total. Or I'm sorry, we saw the Panthers turn the football over. That pushed the game over the total as the Bills hang 21 up in the third quarter. James Cook, the story of this game, he goes for 216 yards against a defense that has been very, very good against the run this year, which is something that was unexpected coming into the season. But Cook goes nuts, has multiple long runs for touchdowns here. And the Panthers just, look, Andy Dalton, meet Kirk
downgrade.
Cousins.
We can officially say when we were saying there's really no difference between Bryce Young and Andy Dalton, yes, there is. That's a downgrade. Check this out. So he only attempted Allen 19 passes. They score 40 points, and you nailed it. Cook, 216 on the ground. That was everything. And the three turnovers. Always look at the turnovers. That's where the battle is won, and it was certainly won by the Bills.
Yeah, it was. And the turnovers produced short fields. If this game even was close to in doubt in the early third quarter, you had back-to-back turnovers that the Bills capitalized, turned into touchdowns, and that pretty much put a stamp on this thing. Dalton does leave one touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. But it was way, way too late before they actually got anything going.
7 sacks for the Bills against a statue that is Andy Dalton. I will, taking a look, Buffalo, I'll take them. I'll sell them right now because here comes Kansas City, who we'll see tomorrow night hosting the Commanders. Kansas City, a point and a half. What was the look ahead here?
Look ahead was Chiefs -1.5. Total 50.5.
52 on the board.
Yeah, I'm not surprised we were seeing that because I do think that like the Panthers had success running the football at times in this game. Andy Dalton was just awful and just took way too many sacks, was indecisive, didn't get the football out in time. That's not going to happen with Patrick Mahomes. He's going to be able to find ways to attack this defense. And conversely, the Bills generally do put up points against Kansas City. So I see why that is leaning toward the over. However, I think you're going to see a run-heavy scheme from both those teams. So I may end up going on the under. This is one of those games you don't really need to attack right now because you're not going to see a three pop in the market. And you're probably going to hang out between 1 and 2 for the Chiefs at every point this week. Maybe we get to pick them at some point if the Chiefs don't play well tomorrow night. And the total is going to sit between 50.5 and 51.5, and we're going to be there on kick on Sunday. So this isn't one I think you need to rush to your account to get in on.
I would agree. Panthers go to the Packers. We talked about that at the onset. I think if you do want to bet Green Bay, maybe now, DraftKings is 11.5. My assumption, that jumps up.
Yeah, if you can find a 10.5, and you mentioned there were still some stragglers.
Heritage is 10.5.
That's your best number of the week. Like this is probably going to 12. Probably closes between 11.5 and 12, somewhere in that range. By the time we actually get to kick, because people are going to dive into this Packers team and say, look, they really performed the way we expected in the second half, and the Panthers stink out loud. The key there is going to be Bryce Young or Andy Dalton. Because if it's Dalton, I'll lay it with the Packers. If it's Bryce Young, mm-hmm. I'm a little more hesitant.
271, the Giants went to Philly. Revenge, obviously. 2 weeks ago, we saw Philly outmatched in Jersey. 7.5 close, 38-20, Philly wins. We talked about another emotional blow for the Giants after the terrible loss in Denver. They lose kind of the heartbeat. And that is Scadaboo in this game with a gross injury to his ankle.
Yeah, that was a brutal one, man. I mean, it was pointing the wrong direction. That was a rough one to watch. And you could tell just by the team's reaction how bad it was immediately when he went down before they even showed the image of what actually happened. This game kind of went as expected, Patrick. The Giants were frisky. The Eagles were better, right? And you know, we talked about laying the 7.5 about on both Sunday and Thursday show. Played out kind of the way I expected. I had some Philly alts here, so that was nice. Surprised AJ Brown didn't play. I did think that he was going to be in here, but he ends up missing the game. But Saquon Barkley has his first real breakout game. Goes for $150 and a touchdown, including a long touchdown run early in this game. And the Eagles never really looked like a loser.
Yeah, no. And we talked about alting that one. 65 long for Barkley, and they go on by, they being the Eagles. The Giants turn around, and we mentioned get San Francisco, and it's 2.5 with San Francisco.
I'm probably betting San Francisco, Patrick.
I would agree.
As much as I don't love the San Francisco defense, Giants defense ain't great either. And San Francisco is starting to get a little healthier. We might have Pearsall back next week. Jennings looked a lot healthier today. Kittle looked good today. McCaffrey got shut down, but that was because of the Houston defense, not because McCaffrey's not effective. Maybe the over as well, because I think these are two bad defenses with two offenses that can move the football. And if Dart doesn't get pressured, he should be successful against this 49ers defense. So maybe look to the over there as well.
Time to talk about the wagon that is the Patriots, who beat up. And again, they cover the 7 easily, 32-13, never in doubt. And that is with Myles Garrett going nuts. He had 5 sacks alone. The Browns, the offense, the defense is going to show up. They had 6 sacks today against May. But this was Dylan Gabriel. My assumption is, unless they just don't like him, the Shador conversation is going to be very prominent this week. He was horrible in the game, and New England trounces the Browns.
Stefanski came out after the game and said Dylan Gabriel will be our starter through the bye. So I guess we're just not interested in seeing Shador. At some point, you have to go to Shador. Like, there's no reason not to figure out what you have, because you're going to have a top 5 pick, and I think you need a quarterback. And if you don't try out Shador, you don't know for sure if you need a quarterback or not. So
why would you need that?
Oh, I don't know.
And you're going to get people like Garrett, who goes out and gives you 5 sacks. Like, the vets are going to start getting really, really antsy, because obviously Gabriel, 21-35, he did have 2 touchdowns, but he did not look good in the game. And New England is a team that all of a sudden, we talked about it, they're just going to keep on building and building. And a very professional win today against the Browns.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about Drake May, except he takes too many sacks. Do you know he is bottom 3 in sacks in the NFL?
He?
He's taken the 3rd most sacks in the NFL, yet he is top 3 in EPA. So that is almost impossible to do, because sacks are huge negative EPA, because you generally don't score on drives where you get a sack. But he is number 1 in the NFL in EPA on deep ball completions.
Yeah, he's anomalous. He plays the position very oddly, but it's effectual.
The thing is, like, you look at even today, 18 for 24. Okay, probably threw for like $160. No, he threw for 282 on 18 completions, because he is stretching the ball down.
Not afraid.
I mean, we're 5 receivers with a completion over 10 yards, 4 receivers with a completion over 20 yards, 3 receivers with a completion over 30 yards. I mean, he is just stretching the field, hitting these long plays, and then he is scrambling. He had 7 for 50 today. He's just doing everything you need for a team to effectively move the football and win these games. Hasn't been turning it over since that Pittsburgh game as well. It's a Patriots team that just looks really good right now, Patrick.
Yeah.
the defense needs to get a little better, but the offense looks like they are absolutely humming.
Browns go on a bye. Sports talk in Cleveland is going to be Shador incessantly. And I will say right now, New England DraftKings 4.5. That's the number because everybody else is showing 5, 5.5.
Yeah, I'm interested to
see. Hosting Atlanta, I should say. But they stay home. I like the spot for New England.
Yeah, I like them staying home. I like betting against Atlanta on the road. I need to know if it's Penix or Cousins. That obviously matters quite a bit after watching Kirk Cousins play today. I also don't want to overreact too much to Atlanta because we have seen them play terrible and we've seen them play well. You know that there's some middle ground in there that we have yet to see on what to expect from this team. And the Patriots, the run defense has been good, so you'd think that they're going to be able to hold Bijan down. That's one of those two where I'm going to let that marinate before I fire right at it.
So the middle ground for Atlanta is they went to Carolina and got beat 30-0. Carolina just got beat by 40 points today by Buffalo. Atlanta outclassed Buffalo in prime time. Atlanta then went to San Francisco and played one of the worst football games you're going to see, then said, hold my beer, and came back this week and played a worst football game. I can't figure out Atlanta from my asshole to my elbow.
Well, that's the thing, man. They actually played well week one against the Bucks. They lose 23-20 on the final play. They beat the Vikings, and then they have those three eggs that you mentioned, but they also have that nice win against the Bills. It's like this team is just, it's not consistent at all. I want to see how the market treats this game because I don't mind losing. I would like to play New England here. I'd like to play him at 3.5. I'd like to play him at 4. I want to see how the market treats this team. And if I have to play him at 5, I'll end up playing him at 5 on Thursday. But this is one I'm going to let marinate and see what the market does with the number because I don't think it ever gets to 7.
No. 275, Tampa Bay, a 23-3 winner over New Orleans. Baker did nothing, didn't need to. 4 or 5 turnovers, I think 4 turnovers. And you saw Rattler, then you saw Shuck even worse. And that was kind of the story. They just kept turning the football over. Tampa, they didn't have to do anything on offense. It was all defense.
Yeah, it was. Nice call by you on the game under. I had the Saints team total under. Both of those cash easily for us. So that was a nice game for us and kind of what we expected. Look, this Bucs team was able to shut down the Saints run. They don't have the quarterbacks to be able to move the football against the Bucs when they're blitz happy. And the offense just kind of grinded them down, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't an impressive offensive day from Baker. Well, they weren't slinging it all over the place. They were just letting the Saints eventually beat themselves. And that's exactly what they did with the turnovers, as you mentioned. So very businesslike 23-3 win here for the Bucs. Man, I want the Bucs to get healthy. I want to see what this team is like at full strength. And I realize we're not going to see Evans possibly for the rest of the year, maybe longer, but I want to see McMillan in here with Ibuka, with Godwin, and see what this offense is actually about when you reinsert Bucky Irving and you're healthy on the offensive line. Like what is the ceiling for this Bucs team? I think that's still a question that needs to be answered.
A week 9 bye is perfection. Mm-hmm. They go on bye after a win in New Orleans. Didn't have to do much, exert much. So the Bucs maybe get healthy coming out of the bye. We shall see. And then a rested Rams team is going to be hosting the Saints. Look ahead was what?
12, 45.5.
Yeah, it's 13.5 and Penny showing 14 on the Rams.
Yeah, I think this is the Tyler Shuck number, right? I mean, because you assume he's going to start.
He
did not look good. But you assume he is going to get the start if you had Rattler come out of the game. And very similar to what we were talking about in Cleveland, this is a Saints team that's going to have a high draft pick. You need to figure out what you got with Shuck. Did you hit? Did you miss? Spoiler alert, you missed. But that's beside the point.
And he's 25, 26.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of, you need a little more from him right out of the gate. We'll see what happens here against the Rams, but the Rams have a very good defensive front. They're not going to need to blitz. It's going to make life very difficult for the Saints offense. And you flip it around to the other side, you're going to have, you know, a healthy Stafford. Hopefully you have Puka back. You still got Devontae Adams. You got Kyren Williams. This should be a smash spot for the Rams, especially with the Saints traveling. So I'm not surprised we're out at 14. Another one I don't need to run and lay it, though, because this isn't going to run to 16.
Agreed. Right? No. 14 right now, Pinnacle, 13.5 everywhere else. Saints at Rams. Tennessee at Indy. Indy 7-1. They cover the 14.5. A 38-14 winner. Efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. Daniel Jones, 21 of 29. Stop me when you've heard this before because he keeps doing it. 3 touchdown passes. He was perfect. And Taylor, who offensive player of the year, potentially 153, two touchdowns, had a long of 80.
Yeah, this game was defined by one of the more cowardly punts I've ever seen in my life, Patrick. I'm not sure.
Mike McCoy disappointed you?
I'm not sure if you were watching this, but we start the third quarter and it's 17-7. And somehow the Titans are in the game. We had a missed long touchdown pass, a missed field goal. Could have been a lot closer. And we get the ball. We matriculate it down the field to the Indianapolis 42-yard line. And on 4th-and-3, down 10, when you're 1-and-6, we decide to punt the football.
It's Mike McCoy.
Goes for a touchback. So net 23 yards. You know what you get? You get a Jonathan Taylor 80-yard run right down your throat, and the game is immediately over after that. One of the more cowardly punts, we have nothing to lose, that I've ever seen in my life. After that, you literally have a 1-yard, 80-yard touchdown run, 3-and-out, and an 8-play, 74-yard touchdown drive, and all of a sudden it's 31-7. The Colts were awesome. Their offense is just so freaking efficient. It's so much fun to watch. Jonathan Taylor should have had 3 rushing touchdowns. But one of his touchdowns was that little fake 1-yard forward pitch
right.
that counts as a passing touchdown for Daniel Jones. This is the 4th game in 8 games so far this season that Jonathan Taylor has 3 touchdowns. That is wild, Patrick. He's now got 13 on the year. He's just been awesome. And this team is so complementary of each other because you've got Downs who can stretch the field. You've got Pittman who is a someone who can move the chains. You've got Tyler Warren who can do everything. He can block. He can run the football.
Pierce.
You got Pierce who's able to run around and make plays for them. And then you've got this elite offensive line with an elite running back. You just need a conductor. And that's what Daniel Jones is doing.
He's doing a great job. You mentioned the punt, and I don't mean to be conspiracy guy, but maybe an edict, because Tennessee obviously doesn't really care about winning football games right now. They were in the game. The only reason I bring it up is because they go home and here comes the Chargers. Penny's 9.5 on the Chargers. Everybody else is 10, 10.5, including FanDuel's 10.5, laying at Chargers at Titans.
Yeah, it's funny. We had favorites dominate this week. And because of that, we're seeing all of these lines move out toward the favorites. The Chargers were 7.5 look ahead, 43.5 on the total. Not surprised by the adjustment with the Chargers who look good and a Titans team who still looks like they don't know what they're doing.
That punt does concern you if you're even thinking about taking with Tennessee the rest of the way.
It's so cowardly. It's a 10-point game and you're 1-6. Like what's the worst that happens? You go 1-7 and get destroyed? Oh, wait, that happened anyway.
Indy's at Pittsburgh. We just talked about it. Very similar to me. If I like the Packers that much at the same number, why wouldn't I like the Colts against a team that I just don't think is very good? You could find potentially a 2.5. ESPN bet is Indy 2.5. You got a bunch of threes, including DraftKings. Colts, Steelers.
Hammer the Colts. If you can find a 2.5.
I totally agree.
Hammer the Colts. If you find a 3, play the Colts. I still like the Colts at 3. Like I think it's obviously a better bet at 2.5, but this Steelers team isn't good, Patrick. I'm not sure why people are still saying the Steelers team is a good football
And they
team.
Ran the ball tonight. They could act like you would think that would open up everything. They were able to run it. Let me take a look.
They ran it effectively in the first half. I think they had 84 yards rushing in the first half. They couldn't move the football at all in the second half. And this is, a Colts defense that I don't love. But this Steelers defense is bad. They can't create pressure. If you don't pressure Daniel Jones,
can't get pressure.
He's going to tear up the secondary because you also have to worry about Jonathan Taylor in the backfield who's going to be going nuts. Like I love the Colts laying 2.5 or 3.
So do I.
But that one's going to go in the account.
279 Dallas at Denver. I mean, this was maybe the game you were thinking about as far as Denver waiting for the offense. Now, the elixir is the Dallas defense, but we went to the break and the Denver Broncos had 4 touchdowns in the first half. They end up beating Dallas 44-24, easily cover the 4, and obviously, and I think you were on the over, goes well over the 52.
This is where Mike was wrong. I was on Dallas. And
I was too.
I thought the Cowboys could move the football against anybody. They could not move the football against this Denver defense. And that's when Pat Surtain, who left the game in the first half with a high ankle sprain and then left the game in the second, or didn't return to the game with a shoulder injury in the second half. So they had every opportunity to move the football and they couldn't. This Denver defense was able to create pressure. We didn't see Dak respond to it nearly as well as he did when he was playing the Packers and Micah Parsons. This was a Denver defense that Elam, I thought, played well on the outside as CB number 2, and you just had a consistent effort, And then this Cowboys defense is atrocious, Patrick. And
terrible.
Now they were missing their starting safeties, missing their top cornerback today. So they were missing some pieces.
Still.
This was bad. I mean, there was just Denver Broncos frolicking openly in a field all day, just being able to catch any pass they wanted to from Bo Nix, who, by the way, like, two
Here
really rough passes early.
Slander.
And then all of a sudden, he played pretty well.
I actually thought he played well. By the way, 25 first downs for the Broncos, 24 for the Cowboys. It's not like they weren't. They were never in it.
No.
Never in it. Efficient on third down for the Broncos, too. The defense is going to break sack records. They only had two today. I say only in quotes. But again, Denver, you're not concerned about their defense. You want to see the offense doing what they did today. It's almost like a get right spot when you play this Cowboys defense. I'm sure they were feeling good about themselves. Denver next week goes to Houston. We talked about it. They're laying 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would lean toward Denver here because I think that Houston and Denver have comparable defenses, and Denver's offense is unquestionably better than Houston's. Even though I don't love Denver's offense, the under to me is really the look here. And maybe it's just team total under on the Texans, because I don't see how the Texans move the football against this pass rush and that with their offensive line. And that again, the two games the Texans have moved the football, Baltimore when they were absolutely just a mash unit on defense, and then this San Francisco team that can't rush the passer, it's going to be a long night back there for C.J. Stroud with this Denver defensive line bearing down on him.
May not seem like the time to buy on Dallas. Monday night, Arizona's in town and it's 3. What was it? Was look ahead 3, right?
Look ahead was Dallas -3, 52.5.
Yeah, I hate Arizona.
I mean, who's playing quarterback? Is it the good one in Jacoby
Brissett
or the bad one in Kyler Murray?
I'm better with backing Brissett, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
But I think I feel like this may get bet up to 3.5. It's standard juice, 110 on the 3.
I mean, I need to know who's going to be playing safety for the Cowboys. Like, they were so bad today. Like, just people running wide open.
So bad.
Down the middle of the field. And you're like, guys, like, just cover the ones in orange. Like, just get close to someone in orange. I felt like I was watching my daughter's soccer team trying to mark somebody. It was a mess.
Although the Broncos, they did look clean in those old school colors.
I love those jerseys.
Pretty.
Those were some sick jerseys.
Steve Atwater, where you at, brother?
You know what? Terrell Davis. That was the player that popped into my head right away when I saw those unis. Those were some beautiful uniforms. I used to crush with that Denver team on Madden 64.
Gorgeous. Great vibes in Denver, too. 281, we end with where we started, and that's Green Bay-Pittsburgh. Tale of two halves. Green Bay played with their food in the first and very much did not in the second. Made Rodgers look old. You mentioned all the rush yards from Pittsburgh came in the first half. It's almost like Micah, and I'm talking about Parsons, obviously. It's not that he takes plays off because he's like nonstop, but he becomes more effectual as the game wore on, and he was a disruptor in the second half, not in the first half.
No, he wasn't all over the place in the first half. In the second, he was absolutely all over
Unreal.
The place. I mean, he's just, even when he's not getting a sack, he is affecting the way that Rodgers handles the play, right? He's forcing Rodgers to roll out. He's making Rodgers get rid of the football sooner than he wanted to. He's allowing someone else to get in and either stop a run or get a sack because he's choosing his spots. I think that he actually gets better in game because he gets live reps against everyone on that offensive line. Because you see him moving himself around, and he figures out exactly where he can attack in specific formations as we get deeper into the game. I think that definitely benefits him and the Green Bay defense. It's crazy, Patrick, because Green Bay in the second half was the second-best team in the NFL. Green Bay in the first half was about the 15th-best team in the NFL. Can we just get a full game, guys?
So we close with Monday. It is going to be Mariota for Washington at Kansas City. Look ahead to where we sit right now. I think it is. There's a disparity. No, it's 11.5. DraftKings is Kansas City 10.5, which has come down. Surprising. And you are right now 48 on the total.
Yeah, this is one of those that's kind of bounced around from a side perspective. Was he's gotten as high as 12 this week, and we've seen now 10.5 sitting on the board. If we get a KC -10, I will be a buyer. I'm not sure if we ever get to that number. I do like Kansas City's offense quite a bit in this spot. If you want to look at first half team total over 15.5, I think that is a fairly good look here as well. This Commanders defense isn't very good, and Kansas City's offense is just a machine right now, especially with what we saw from Rashee Rice and hearing from Andy Reid all week. You're going to get a more complete game from Rashee Rice this week. If that's the case, like, this is a offense that is going to be absolutely impossible to stop. We'll see if that's what we get. But if you have Rice out there and you've got Worthy out there, and then all of a sudden you have to single guys like Kelce and like Hollywood Brown and like Juju Smith-Schuster and Thornton, Mahomes is going to be just picking his poison and just killing everybody.
Yeah, easily the best team in football for me right now, Kansas City. I've got one prop here, and it's because the linebackers for the Commanders, they resemble glaciers. Warner is probably one of the slower linebackers in football. I think Travis Kelce is going to find a ton of space in the middle there. 41.5 for receiving yards on Kelce. I'll go ahead and take him to go over.
I've got one prop as well. You got to look around for this one, though. Xavier Worthy over 4.5 or 5.5 yards rushing. He has gotten a rush in the last three games, gone over this total in all three of those, got two rushes in the first game, went over the total in that game as well. He went under one of the games he has played so far this year. They always scheme up a Worthy rush in the first half. It almost always goes for 6+. His rushing prop is 4.5 or 5.5, depending on where you can find it. Give me Worthy over rushing, either 4.5 or 5.5. 6.5, it starts to get a little sketchy because he's got a lot of 6-yard runs if you look back at what he's done the last 2 years. But he has consistently got a run for the last two seasons inside this Chiefs offense. I think it's a wrinkle that they want to make sure they continue to put on film so that people have to prepare for it every time that he motions across the formation.
All right, light week. That's week 8 here, Sharp Money. I meant to tell you earlier, but we've got the Sports Equinox. If you're downloading this on Monday, today, everyone playing. NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, of course, with the World Series, and Washington at Kansas City Monday night. We got a great special over at VSiN. Go to VSiN.com. Check out the Equinox special. You're not going to find a better deal. A theme, obviously, light with the 6 byes. We kick off week 9, Baltimore at Miami. The Jackson question will be here, Sharp Money, on Thursday to discuss more in depth. What's the theme here coming out of week 8?
Good teams starting to play good, Patrick. We're really seeing the cream rise to the top inside the NFL. You look around and you look at who is performing well. It's teams like the Chargers, right? It's teams like the Patriots, the teams like the Eagles, the Bills, the Ravens, the Broncos, the Colts, the Packers, the teams, the Bucks, the teams that we expected to be there are starting to distance themselves. We saw favorites do very well today. It's one of the reasons we've seen lines become longer next weekend for these games. And I think that is partially because we are seeing the cream of the NFL rise to the crop. I expect that to continue with the Chiefs tomorrow night.
Survivor was trending. What was the reason for that?
It was 50% of the Survivor field ending today are no longer in the Survivor field. So the Colts were the number one selection with 34% of the pool. They advance. The number two selection with 33% of the pool, the Atlanta Falcons. Never close. The number three selection, the Cincinnati Bengals, with 18% of the pool. They go down in horrific fashion. So 50% of the Circus Survivor pool is out. Two of the Grandissimo entrants, which was down to 15, playing for $6.9 million, is now down to 13 as they drop out as well. So another week of carnage in Survivor as we knock out over half the field at Circa.
All right, Sharp Money, we'll be back on Thursday. Download, subscribe, spread the word to a friend. We appreciate you. A programming note, we do have the Breeders' Cup coming up. So Mike and Aaron Halterman, VSiN at the Track, where you can find any of the podcasts, where you find your podcasts, I should say, in VSiN Live on YouTube. But let them know about the horse racing schedule with VSiN at the Track.
Yeah, we've got a big week this week with the Breeders' Cup coming up from Del Mar on Friday and Saturday. There are 5 Breeders' Cup races on Friday, 9 Breeders' Cup races on Saturday. On Tuesday, the 28th, Aaron and I will have a special podcast covering Friday's 5 Breeders' Cup races. So you get picks in all 5 of those from us. There's a pick 5 encompassing those 5 races as well. So great opportunity to try and make some money heading into Saturday. Saturday, we're going to cover 5 of the 9 Breeders' Cup races there as well. Got some really great offers over at VSiN. If you head over to first.com/VSiN, you can get in the Survivor Breeders' Cup pool that they're doing over there, where you got to pick a horse in the top 3 of 8 different Breeders' Cup races. There's also an Exacta promo that we're running over at First Bet. And if you're looking to bet the horses, go over to firstbet.com, use promo code VSiNBC, and you can, if you bet $200, you get a $250 deposit bonus. If you bet $200, you're entered to win a free trip, all expenses paid, to Las Vegas as well. So if you're going to bet the Breeders' Cup, do it over at First Bet. Maybe you're going to Vegas for free.
I would say this, if you have any interest or have thought about getting into horse racing, it's the best time of the year. It is the Friday and Saturday of Breeders' Cup is about as fun as it gets. Just the pageantry, the racing is exquisite. And again, go to First Bet, VSIN, VSINBC. But again, look out for the programming. Samich and Halterman do a great job with VSIN at the track. But this is Sharp Money, and we will see you on Thursday. Samo, I'll see you then.
Sounds good, Patrick.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN.